In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. As you remember, in our last two meetings, we discussed at some length the events around the second coming of Christ, and we said that Christianity would be totally meaningless without this dogma, that our Lord is gloriously coming back in full splendor. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead all at once, and his kingdom shall have no end. In the first session, we took special care to clarify the position of the church and the place of the body of Christians during these terrible times which precede the coming of our Lord. Again, we repeat over and over again, there will be no pre-tribulation rapture as many Western Christians and different communities hold. As we stated previously, this teaching is unorthodox and also dangerous. The church will not be lifted up before or during the reign of the Antichrist. And according to the book of Daniel, the Antichrist will wear out the saints of the Most High. The church will bring forth glorious new martyrs who will wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. During the second session, we presented the Orthodox position on the millennium, or the 1,000 years. With the help of the Church Fathers, we showed that 1,000 is a symbolic number, an allegorical number, and it represents the time of the gospel. The time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming represents the 1,000 years. As we mentioned, the saints are already reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, meaning that they are in paradise, and they are there with their souls only, not with their bodies, and the devil has been bound for 1,000 years, meaning that for those who truly hold on to the truth of the gospel, the devil is bound and he is powerless just for them. But woe to those who neglect the gospel and the sanctification of their soul. For those poor souls, the devil is loose. People who do not have Jesus Christ will automatically become worshipers of different types of idols. Idols vary in our times. Our Christians today can idolize many things: technology, sports, health, wealth, possessions, nature. And behind all these modern idols, the devil is waiting to be worshipped. And now, after this short introduction, we enter today's topic of the coming of the Antichrist. The coming of the Antichrist is a most major sign, a great sign that shows that the Lord is around the corner. As we mentioned before, once the Antichrist comes, it will only take but 3.5 years and the Lord will be here. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says that Saint Paul gave us a very clear sign that the great rebellion must come first. The great rebellion will reveal the Antichrist, and immediately after that, Christ will come. There's some signs given to us by Christ as well in Matthew chapter 24. Christ says, in the last days, there will be many false prophets, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, nation rising against nation, Christians will hate each other, bishop against bishop, and so on. Increase of wickedness, the love of the many will grow cold, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations as testimony, and then the end will come. We could spend hours on these signs, but for today we will focus on the person of the Antichrist, his characteristics, and his short kingdom. Our Lord spoke about him to the Jews. I came in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. When the other one comes, you will receive him, meaning the Antichrist. But where do we have a very clear and most informative account about the Antichrist? From the Greek Macedonians, the Thessalonians. St. Paul saw a vision, as described in the Acts of the Apostles, of a Macedonian man speaking Greek, inviting him to come and preach the gospel of Christ in Macedonia, where he found the first church of Philippi and Thessalonica. 2,000 years later, free Europe, who does not know the gospel of Christ, is believing the distortion of history from the South Yugoslavian Republic of Skopjans, and they are claiming that Macedonia was never Greek, and they want to call their new nation Macedonia, which will cause severe implications and tensions in that region. And we read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 12. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord is already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. It's very clear here that the Antichrist must come before Christ can come. And to answer the young gentleman's question last week, is the Antichrist going to be a man? Yes, it says right here that he will be a man, a human being. The man of lawlessness is revealed. The men doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by his splendor of his coming. And for the most of our topic today, we will be explaining and analyzing the scriptures by the help of the church fathers. So who is the Antichrist? Is he Satan himself? St. John the Chrysostom and St. John of Damascus say no. Satan does not have the ability or the power to incarnate, to become human. So he will be a human being. The Antichrist will be a human being, and he will be born of a woman illegitimately through fornication from an unwed mother. The mother will claim that her son, the Antichrist, was born miraculously because she knows no men. She will distort the truth. The Antichrist will be the monkey of Christ, the ape of Christ, or St. Augustine says. He will copy everything that Christ did. The Antichrist will be the most rotten seed of all creation from Adam until the end of times. Not only he will be a Jew according to Oikumenos, but he will have Jewish forefathers. His family tree will be of Jewish people according to St. Andrew of Caesarea. He will be the direct descendant of all those Jews that stubbornly refused Jesus Christ as the Savior. He will be from the tribe of Dan. In the book of the Revelations, when St. John calls out the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Dan is missing. It's left out. He will not be from Denmark, or some of the heretical Pentecostals like to tell us. Denmark, Mark of Dan. Real simple. It's not going to be that simple. He will be from Galilee. According to St. Athanasius, he will come out of Galilee, the same place Christ came out from. What's remarkable about this, and a great sign that 100 years ago our Christians could not have, and they could relax a bit. Galilee was not under Jewish occupation 100 years ago. Today, Israel is a nation, and after 1900 years, and in front of our eyes, in our century, we witness this great prophecy of Israel becoming a nation. So yes, the Antichrist can come out of Galilee. This is a great sign. So St. John of Damascus also repeats that he is born out of fornication, the Antichrist, and he will be nursed and developed secretly in hiding, and he will appear suddenly, and he will be made king. At the beginning of his kingdom, he will be a man of greatness. He will be a man of holiness. But after his position is made secure, he will spit out all his poison against humanity and especially the Church of Christ. What's the reason for his deception? Why would humanity be deceived? He will appear to be meek, godly, a peacemaker, wise, just, will not accept bribes or gifts, will show no sign of corruption, will despise idolatry. He will respect the scriptures. He will respect the clergy. He will be very ethical. He will have no relations with women. He will despise any type of immorality. He will be hospitable, philanthropical, friend of the poor, merciful, friend of the orphans and widows, a lover of all. No greed will be found in him, and he will not be a seeker of wealth. A beautiful man, a tremendous leader, an example for all. Do we see why humanity will be greatly deceived? So the Antichrist will appear to be of great holiness. He will be a very holy person, but he will be the master of hypocrisy. Saint Hippolyta says he will possess qualities, virtues, and characteristics not easily found in one person, especially in our days. The nations will find him flawless and will declare him their universal leader. They will ask, is it possible to have a more great and righteous man in our generation? The Antichrist will pretend humility. He will say, no, I don't need this. I'm not worthy. But then he will accept. He will accept to be the king of the Jews first, and then he will be allowed to govern the rest of the world, bringing into life their ultimate dream, the dream of the Jews, which is world domination. The culmination of his godlessness and maliciousness will take place when he declares himself as the only God while fiercely persecuting anyone that holds to a different belief. St. Paul says that he will exalt himself above everything that's considered to be God. Everything. We know that in the past, many leaders, especially the Caesars, Babylonians, pharaohs, they call themselves gods. Of course, that is very sinful, but they also allowed many other gods. The Caesars allowed hundreds of different gods in their pantheon. There were many different gods, but the Antichrist will not allow that. He will demand that he's looked upon and worshipped as the only and exclusive God. He will even cease idolatry. He will have superb pride, St. Paul says. His pride will be superb, demonic. He will oppose everything that Christ did. The Greek word is andikimenos, which in Hebrew actually means Satan. Satan means somebody who stands against, He will fight Buddhism, Islam, New Age, Gnosticism. All will be eliminated, or rather, most of them will join him. He will demand soul worship, and he will build the Temple of Solomon, and this is how he will deceive the Jews. He will contradict the teachings of Christ because, as we know, as Christians, the temple has no more use. There's no more need for sacrifices. We are in the New Testament. He will be the antagonist of Christ. As we know, the Temple of Solomon was destroyed at 70 AD when the entire Jerusalem was leveled, literally leveled, destroyed. During this destruction, Caesar actually went into the temple and defiled it. As we know from the church tradition, Julian the Apostate wanted to erect a temple to make a liar out of Christ. But when he started, fire was literally flying out of the foundation. When the workers would go to dig around the foundation, fire would jump out and burn them and not put a stop to that, along with a very strong earthquake that literally threw the stones out of the foundation. This fact is verified by Saint Cyril, the historian Socrates, Saint John the Chrysostom, Saint Gregory the theologian, from the Christians, and from the non-Christians even, Livanios and Marcellinus. They also attest to this. So the Antichrist will build the temple quickly because God will allow it. God will give them an energy of falsehood, and because the Antichrist will fulfill the expectations of the Jews who for centuries have been unable to rebuild their temple, now they will accept him as their Messiah. In the Old Testament, it was forbidden to break and shape the stones inside Jerusalem. God had his reasons for this because the Israelites were always very prone to idolatry, but at any rate, they had to get stones far away from Jerusalem for the building of the temple. For that reason, we are informed today that the Jews have already cut and have the stones ready at another country, possibly the United States. They're ready to go. Is this a possible sign that the Antichrist is near? Yes, Saint Cyril says that this is a great sign. The Antichrist will build a magnificent temple to impress the Jews. He will sit at the temple and he will prove that he is God by performing false miracles and demonic illusions. The Jews are expecting him. And let's read from the New York Times. Full page ad, July 15, 1987. A full page ad. There's a rabbi in New York that's declaring to all the Jews all throughout the world, we must find positive methods to express our faith for the coming of the Messiah and rebuilding of the temple. The heading of this article of a full-page ad was something like this: after 1900 years, it is time for a change. The Jews are expecting their Messiah. But as Christ told us, the one that will come will be the Antichrist. Also, in New York Times in 1989, Martin Levin, and I'm not going to read the entire article. The article, amongst other things, says that the new temple is indispensable to our nation. This temple was always the substance of our being as Jews. This temple gave strength to our people. Of course, as we know, the Jews can only have one temple. They have many synagogues, but they can only have one temple according to the Old Testament, which they still hold on to. Presently, at that very spot that the Temple of Solomon used to be, there's a Muslim mosque called the Temple of Omar. This is a temple of great architecture, tremendous temple, and it was built around 600 AD. As we know, that's not the most peaceful region, and it will not take very much to blow up the Temple of Omar. However, the articles are not going to tell us when these things are going to happen. The Antichrist does not know when these things will happen. The only person that knows and will allow it to happen is Christ when the time is right. The time has not come yet. However, if tomorrow, next week, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10, 50 years from now, the generation that sees the temple blow up and sees the temple of Solomon be erected, know it, realize it, the Antichrist is around the corner. He's already born. This is a very, very strong sign. As we mentioned previously, there have been some theologians that have said that the Antichrist is born and he is 16 years old, 5 years old, 20 years old. None of that. That's irresponsible. The coming of the Antichrist is connected directly with the second coming of Christ. And since the second coming of Christ is unknown, then the coming of the Antichrist is also unknown. The Lord said that the time and the hour, the hour and the day is not known to anyone, not even the angels. But we have to be careful. He said the time and the hour and the day. He did not say the year or the decade. As Christians, if we stay vigilant, these signs will tell us. And this is the reason why we do these studies, to be aware of these signs. To give you an example, the example that the Lord used, he used Noah. He said, Noah, God told Noah that after so many years, the flood will come. I believe Noah was about 500 years old when he began to build the ark. Noah knew that at the end of the building of the ark, the flood would begin. But he did not know the hour or the day. However, let's say that it took Noah about 40, 50, 60 years to get halfway through the ark. From this, he would be able to know that about another 40, 50, 60 years later, the flood would come. As Christians, we can know the general time frame, even though we will not know the hour and the day. And these are the signs that the church fathers and St. Paul have given us not to be found asleep. Another example, as we know, when the rooster crows, it's getting to be morning. But there might be another hour, 2 hours, 3 hours before sunlight comes. So it's very important to study these signs. As a matter of fact, the Lord blasted the Jews. He told them, "You hypocrites, you know to read the sky, you know to read the weather, but you did not read my signs, the signs of his first coming." The Lord and the church fathers expect us to study the times. Saint Ignatius, on the road to execution in Rome, he wrote to Saint Polycarp, who was the bishop of Smyrna, and he told him specifically to study and search the times and expect eagerly the one who is to come. So far, we mentioned a few signs that will be helpful to let us know if it could be far, let's say the second coming of Christ, another 1,000 years, 500 years, 100 years. No, we cannot put a time that specifically belongs to God. But according to the church fathers, the contemporary fathers, it cannot be very long. Yes, we are living in anti-Christian times. Now let's see how he will deceive humanity. As we mentioned earlier, he will be a tremendous leader, a tremendous man of virtue before his reign. He will influence the world when he performs miracles, but satanic ones, such as healing the sick, feeding the poor, putting an end to wars, and solving the economic problems, therefore bringing world peace, although it will be very temporary, for his ruling will only last a short time. And when he is doing all this, most people will pledge allegiance to him. After he's crowned king and walks into the temple of Solomon, then his true colors will come out. He will have all the maliciousness of the devil. Why? Because the Antichrist is a pawn of the devil. The devil knows that his time is short. He knows that this is the end. The devil knows that in a few years he's finished, and now he's in a rage, and he's going to use the Antichrist to express that rage to all creation. The Antichrist will have tremendous arrogance, Luciferian arrogance. He will think that he will reign forever. He will proclaim himself God, but as we know, when Elijah and Enoch come back, there will be no rain for 3.5 years. So now all the people that went to the Antichrist and pledged allegiance to him, they worshipped him, they received his mark, all these people will ask for food. You are supposed to be God. Do something. It hasn't rained. And then he will be totally enraged, and the people will know that they have been deceived. But in the absence of the Holy Spirit, they will not be able to repent.